Hello, everyone. Welcome to Development Palettes. I'm Aaron Loomis coming to you from the Drew Estate Studios. With me today is June Lou, Seth Geist, John McTavish. How you guys doing?
Good man. I'm trapped under the heat dome. Trapped under the heat dome. I'm dying over here. Grown men walking up to cops on the street corner asking them to shoot them. It's so hot.
You should make I saw this recipe the other day, and the guys in the forum and the group is making, the local whiskey group is making. Ooh. So a lot of these guys are making whiskey slushies.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds highly relevant to my interests.
Right.
Really? I just don't see how that would be refreshing.
Yeah.
No?
Because the booze makes you feel good and the slushy cools you down.
You didn't have the heat from the alcohol that much. Like, you got to put something else in it, right?
Dude, if it's really like hot and humid, the last thing I want to have is like Lafroy.
did I mention we did an Ardbeg tasting outside when it was like 88 degrees or whatever?
Yeah, that's
good times. Oof.
Speaking of hot, we are talking about the Drew Estate Underground 10 Toro. Cigar, 6-inch by 52 ring gauge, comes out of the La Gran Fabrica Drew Estate factory in Nicaragua. Wrapper is Mexican San Andres. Binder is Connecticut Broadleaf. Filler is from Nicaragua. It is blended by Willie Herrera. Price point is $12. And the cigar was released in May of 2021. So with all that out of the way, June. Maybe. What was that?
Can we put up a photo of this while we're talking about it?
Yeah, let's do that.
It's a sexy cigar, which we should all be. I'm proud of where we're. God, look at that photo, too.
I love that little, what do you call that? A little strip? The little
ribbon?
Ribbon, yeah.
Called
floss.
Have you seen the
I thought that was really original.
Smoke it while keeping it there?
I was like, I'm not going to ruin my cutter trying to cut this while it's on there. I was thinking about that.
Oh. I've
been taking these photos with like the ribbon still on it.
I'm sure.
How the hell did they do this?
That's a choice. It's a bad choice.
Because if they make the Underground 10 look this good, I mean, they got to up their game when, you know, the anniversary for like the Liga 9 and T-52s happened, right?
Well, they did the 10th anniversary. They did that.
Oh, yeah, that's true. This looks way, way better than that black.
If they would have put
color.
That matte black was legit.
If they would have put that fan cap on it, like the like a lot of the Unico series.
Oh, you want the fan cap on it.
I think it would have been.
Do that.
Oh, the ribbon. Little.
Well, but you give up the ribbon, do the fan cap. I feel like this could have had
what
an amazing
prelate. What if you pierce the fan cap and put the ribbon through it?
Oh, shit.
All right. I would take the fan cap, though, without the ribbon.
Yeah, I agree.
Hurry, trademark it. Hurry up, trademark it.
All right, Gene, okay. What was your thoughts on this cigar?
All right, so now that we talked all kinds of good about the pre-light experience, my spoken experience wasn't that great. So I take that back. I actually rated the first third to be good. Subsequent following two-thirds to be average. So the first thing that I noticed about the cigar was I thought it was it had a really nice viscous like mouthfeel to it. That was the first thing I noticed about it, in which that was an absolutely really good thing. So so with that came a lot of this like chalky cocoa kind of thing going on. So it really like sticks to your palate, right? So with that also, there's like leather, minerals. There's definitely a very like a dirty, earthy, you know, dirt grit to it. And that never left a profile. When you retrohale, you know, you get more of the spice or really an introduction of spice for me. And this profile became a little nuttier. Medium full on the strength side. So, but really past that first third, it wasn't as enjoyable at all. There's, you know, the more I smoked the cigar, the more leather I got, the more of this gritty earthiness dirt that I got. So that basically took place of that chalky cocoa formula that I like so much. So, you know, I know a lot of people are fanboying about this one, but to me, this was a miss. I feel like there's a lot more undercrowns that's aside from this that's way better than this.
All right, Seth, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the first third, I thought it was had a good start. Coffee beans, some mocha. I was getting some chocolate. You know, there's when you're picking on the chocolate with this cigar, and if you were on the little show the little launch party they had. They kept talking about hot chocolate. I don't know if that was just like stuck inside my brain, but every time I was smoking this, probably hot chocolate came to mind. Yeah, but I was getting some red pepper and leather as well. I found it to be medium full. I think the flavor profile lasted really well for the first two thirds. The final third, it kind of went downhill. Maybe I was just overwhelmed because it's an earthy cigar. It's just really rich and earthy, and you're going to get leather and spice notes on top of that. So it's, my palate was probably shot towards the end. Medium full, though.
All right, John, how about you?
I thought the first third started out really good. Like, kind of the comments have already been made. There's a lot of creaminess to it. So really, really nice creamy mouthfeel, baking spices. It is very earth forward. I did get that coffee and chocolate. So, you know, for lack of a better expression. Yeah. Mexican hot chocolate, definitely got that. So the first third was good and I was like, oh, okay. You know, it's a bit of a departure from the original, but, you know, it's interesting because it's more creamy and earthy instead of spicy and sweet. But then I found for the second third and the last third, you know, the flavors didn't really come together for me that really kept my attention. A lot of earth, a lot of wood. There was some fruit sweetness in there and some mild bitterness, but I just found that the earth and the wood kind of took over the profile. It kind of reminded me a lot of the Liga Privada number 9, actually. So, you know, it wasn't really my cup of tea, and I didn't feel it was quite as balanced as the original. I smoked two cigars for review, and as is pretty much the case with most Drew Estate stuff, burn was flawless, draw was pretty flawless, so yeah, that construction was excellent, flavor profile was slightly above average. Aaron, what about you?
The cigar was very dry earth dominant. First third had some nice touches with the cocoa powder and some cinnamon. But once those departed, it became pretty average until the final third when some heavy char joined in. Cigar is just too dry earth focused for me. Not the profile I enjoy. There needs to be something else in the profile to kind of balance things out. But if you're someone that loves dry earth focused cigars, if you like eating dirt, maybe you're a landscaper or something like that, and this cigar is like perfect for you. but for me, I'd smoke a regular release underground over this. And that's unfortunate because it's supposed to be, you know, a celebratory cigar. I know, you know, they put a lot of work into this and all that stuff, but man, that dry earth, it's like having a mouthful of dirt. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And also something I forgot to mention is this is one of, you know, sometimes you have a cigar and like, it is so, there's certain flavors that are so dominating and like rich, but not in a good way rich, that you get palate fatigue, you know, and that really cakes on your palate for hours and hours, right? Like not even eating some foods could help. I felt like that with this cigar.
Yeah.
No.
I agree with that. All right, we're going to get into the scores. We're going to start at the top with Seth at 6.62. John was next at 6.10. June gave it a 6 even. I gave it a 5.55. So Seth, how'd that 6.62 match up for you?
Ready for the banner, baby. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I thought it was a good cigar. I thought it was a little one-dimensional, I'll say that. I think I want to smoke it in a 50 ring gauge and a 43 ring gauge because I do want to see those differences. But yeah, that's a little high, probably, but it's a good cigar. Presentation probably helped us out, probably.
John, 6.10.
Yeah, that matches up pretty well. And obviously for me, anything below a 6.5, you know, generally isn't something I want to return to. And I did say in my comments that there's a lot of sizes, a lot of really interesting sizes, which have traditionally done quite well in other cigars. So, you know, I think the factory floor special, is that what?
Factory floor edition.
Factory floor edition. That's the one I'm most excited.
That's the 43.
I think it's the Lonsdale.
Lonsdale. Yeah. And Willie makes deadly, deadly Lonsdales. That's probably the one I'm looking forward to. There's a Corona Viva. There's a bunch of other sizes. Even the Robusto. I kind of want to smoke the whole range. So just to see what it compares with. But June, 6 even. How does that match up?
Yeah, I'll give it to that guy that's not going to the celebration to give it the high score. That's good, Seth. Good job. six even for me is it's nowhere near top 25. Like anywhere that's like for me to want to, you know, enjoy more of. Yeah, I, you know, I actually smoked a Underground Shady right after, like not right after, but like after I had some food and I came back to it. And that Shady was actually super delicious. And, you know, but then again, like, it's kind of like a anniversary series type, limited edition type stuff. Like, I think it's rare to have it as good as the regular production. Like, I actually can't recollect any cigar where you slap a big anniversary, like a 10th anniversary, especially, and having it better than the core lines that they've been doing. I'd love for you guys to name me one, because I can't even think of one.
Wait, what's this?
Hold on, let me get mine out of the way, and then you guys can rack your brains. My 5.55 matches up well. Overall, it was an average flavor profile. Had a little burnish, had to relight twice, but draw was perfect. So it makes right in the middle fives. So there you go. Final thoughts or other anniversary cigars that you think actually deliver?
Yeah.
I
deliver over the core lines.
I was not prepared for an anniversary conversation, but maybe Crown Heads is the only company I can think of that maybe has had a couple.
That have delivered better than the core lines.
Yeah. And I think that's only because they've, for some of their limited editions, they've gone to other factories. So it's not really analogous to Drew Estate because they own the process. It's kind of a different situation.
Yeah.
But additional thoughts. So if I understand the blend correctly, they basically took the original Underground, which was Mexican San Andreas, Habano, and then Brazilian Matafina with, like, it's got Jalapa, Matape in it. And they pulled the, obviously swapped the binder for the broadleaf. And then I believe the Brazilian Matafina is missing from the filler. And I think that's just, I think what you came up with original, what they came up with originally was it was a good balance between sort of sweet and spicy. And I think pulling the Habano and replacing it with broadleaf, and then there's no other sweet filler, at least not that I could taste, moved it more towards that Liga Privada dank earth potting soil spectrum. And I think it really needed that Matafina or something else to sort of counteract that earth, at least for me, for my palate. That's my two cents as a guy who doesn't blend cigars. So you can just throw that right in the trash.
I agree, I mean I don't know about tobaccos by any means, but like I do agree that this was too much of this like soil leather thing going on. So
yeah, you know, like on the pre-light you get like I got like sweet fig and stewed fruits and stuff like that. Like give me that sweetness from that.
Oh yeah,
blend, you know,
that's true. I forgot, if I can smell it
I want to taste it, you know.
Yeah.
If you can get that sweetness in there, this is probably going to do real well. So I don't know. We'll see if those thin ring gauges can do it. But I'm not spending a whole weekend smoking through all the sizes of this.
Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to smoke them all.
I don't think that's possible.
You're smoking every single one of them.
Way stronger palate than I do, man.
You're not going to taste shit after like two of these.
If I smoke this, I'm done for the day.
You fools got to go down to Safari and get in the 10 plus club. You know, that's what I'm saying.
I could down five of these. In the morning.
10 plus leagues in a day, baby.
No, I'm just gonna be wrecked.
You start the morning out with the dark Antonio from Hoya. That's how you kick off your breakfast.
That's how you start the morning for sure. Yeah. I'll take that.
Better a league of nine.
Yeah, and then you go like right into like a league of nine, T52. Yeah, baby. That's how we do.
You don't come down from the mountain when you go up that high.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
They do taste better. Cigars do taste better in Anika. They really do. I feel like you have no. When cigar enthusiasts go to Anika, you smoke cigars basically all day long. But I also kind of felt like I didn't really have much palate fatigue, which is really weird. I don't know, man.
I have the same thing in Cuba. I can smoke like 15 cigars and I don't get palate fatigue.
Cuban, that's different. I can smoke Cubans all day and I can still taste them, I feel like.
Fair enough.
So,
all right. If you just got this video on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to us. We'll also check out the full written review on the website, developmentpalace.com. Follow us on all the social media channels, and you can catch all of our review recaps on podcasts. So iTunes, Google Play, and Podbean. Thank you for tuning in. We will catch you on the next one.
TE for